He's coming soon, friends. We're talking about in this whole series the word Maranatha. What does that stand for? Jesus is coming. He is coming. And last week we began our look at Matthew 24 and 25. You remember that is where the Jesus disciples came to him and said, hey, when is this going to happen and what's it going to look like? They wanted a place on the calendar. They wanted a date and a time to put down so they would know. Well, Jesus basically goes through and tells them some signs, but we're at the end right now. And last week we talked about five don'ts. He said, hey, don't try to figure it out. He said, no man knows the day or the hour, not the angels, not even me. Don't try to figure it out. But he said also, don't miss the signs of the times. In other words, know the fig tree. When it begins to change, you know that summer's about to come. Be aware of what's happening around you. But number three, he said, don't be distracted by life. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, they were marrying and drinking and eating and having a great time, but they missed it. Don't get distracted by life so that you've missed the spiritual importance of what's about to happen. Number four, don't be left behind. Remember, we talked about being selected to be saved. Noah was selected out of the world to be saved. His family were. The men in the field, the women grinding, one will be selected to be saved. You don't want to be left behind. You want to be selected, paralambano, to be saved. And then last, he said, therefore, watch, Gregorio. Watch, be awake, keep your eyes open, be ready at any time because no one knows the day or the hour. We can't be lazy. He said, don't be lazy. Be watchful, be on top of it because it can happen any minute. Well, today we're going to go to the next section, the very last section of chapter 24. I'd originally planned to do two sections today, and the Lord said, no, slow down, pal. You got enough to talk about. So we're just going to do the last section of 24, verse 45 to 51. Because here he goes into some things we should do. We did do not last time. We're going to get into some things we should be and do today. You know, my dad was a child abuser in some ways. I was about to start my dating life, and I went to my dad, and I wanted to get some advice about dating from my dad. Now, I understand my dad is a Marine, so I should tell you a lot about him already. My dad is also a computer science specialist, so that should tell you a whole bunch of other things about him. He's not exactly, well, anyway, my dad, I went to him for advice on dating. And he gave me the most terrifying advice you can ever give somebody on dating. I think I've told you to, but if I haven't, hear it now. My dad basically said this, son, if Jesus comes back while you're on this date, make sure you don't embarrass yourself. Well, I was paranoid. I had a terrible dating life because I was paranoid all the time. But really, it is good advice in many ways, isn't it? What if Jesus comes back in any activity you're doing, especially dating or anything, you know, are you going to be responsible? Is he going to find you faithful to him in the midst of that date? Thanks a lot, Dad. I appreciate that. But that is the message of Maranatha. What we're learning is, and what we're talking about in the next couple of weeks is what I'm calling the mindset, the Maranatha mindset. What you don't do and what you do do is the mindset. How do we live in the midst of Maranatha? And there's a lot to say today. We've got a couple of things to talk about today. As Jesus gives us pictures and parables here in 24 and 25 of what it's going to look like and what we should do in the process. So let's begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much for your holy word. We come humbly before it. We know that, Father, that we have no power to understand or translate or live out your holy word without your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray, as Teresa said so well, we just pray your Holy Spirit will speak in a profound way today. We just pray, dear Father, that you will open our hearts to receive this word. That, Lord, that we might rethink about our lives today based on this scripture here. And may it captivate us in everyday living, in everything we do, whether it's dating or working or even when we're by ourselves. What if Jesus were to come back? What would he find us doing? Who would he find us being? That is the question. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me, that each of us here may receive the exact message that you would have us to receive. And Holy Spirit, we give you complete license to take control and have your way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn over to Matthew 24, and we're starting at verse 45 today. And in this last section of Matthew 24, again, the disciples, I think, were looking for pretty specific things. All right, exactly when is this going to happen? When are you going to restore the kingdom? What's our role in all this? And they thought it was going to happen tomorrow. They really did. And instead, Jesus gives them a big list, which they're going to look at coming up sermons. That first part of 24 is all about the tribulation period, what's going to happen in the end times. And then he begins to go from part we started to in 32 on to through 25 to talk about other things that we're to do in the meantime. But here in 45, he gives us this picture, and he asks us this question. Look, verse 45 asks a question. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? He gives us three words here that can transform your view of your life, your ministry, your family, your work, your church, everything. I mean, the more I thought about this, the more I was captivated by this idea. In fact, this morning when I woke up this morning, my first prayer was, Lord, help me be a faithful, wise servant of yours. Let's look at these words here just for a minute. The word faithful here is the word pistos. We've seen it before. Pistos. I tell people, I really want you to be pistos. It's good. Because it means two words. It means faith. Pistis is the word faith. Pistis is faith, but this is pistos. Because it's got something at the end of that word faith. What's at the end of that word faith? Full, all right? Which is the word for action. Faithful means that you are not just believing, but you are doing. We get this idea somewhere in our minds that faith is what we believe, what we put in our mind, how I believe. But you understand that faith without works is what? Because if you don't walk it, you don't believe it. Faith is only faith when it's walked out. So faithful means that you have faith and you have action over time. That you can depend, if someone's to look at your life, they would say, I know what you believe in by the way you walk. Or David said, you can look at somebody's wallet and determine what their faith is in by their checkbook, how they spend their money. You look at someone's calendar, you see what they believe in by what they do with their time, right? We are faithful to the things we believe in the most. And he says here, who then will be a faithful servant? He said, guys, you know what? I'm not concerned about giving you a date. I'm concerned about giving you a motivation. I'm giving you a purpose. I'm giving you a reason to keep on living today, because I need you to be a faithful servant until I come. And this is the point. Number two, the word wise. He says, who then is a faithful and wise? Now, the normal word for wise in the Greek and the Hebrew is Sophia, okay? And that's wisdom from God, okay? The Sophia of God is the wisdom from God. This is not the word for Sophia here. This is phronimos. Phronimos. And it has two parts to it too. First, it means one who is thoughtful. One who is thoughtful. One who is constantly thinking and contemplating and considering the situation. But I love the second part of this word, phronimos. It also means respectful. And what it means is respectful of who you are and whose you are and who you're working with. You see, wise here means I'm thinking about it. I've got it in my mind. I'm constantly remembering and thinking about what I'm to do. But I'm also having respect for the earth, having respect for others, having respect for who I am, having respect for people's lives. And you'll see why that matters in a minute here. So he says, who of you will be a wise and faithful servant? He goes on to say, verse 40, 48 here in a minute, he's going to say, but suppose that servant is wicked. The other option, and both, this is a huge contrast, the word wicked there, kakos, come on, say that, it's kind of fun, kakos, is evil. Kakos is the word evil, but in this case, wicked means evil-minded and rebellious. Now, I want you to understand, a faithful and wise servant is one who can be depended upon, faithful, over time to do what is right. A faithful and wise servant is one who is thoughtful about what he's doing and respectful to others as to how he does it. A wicked is not. He is evil. He is evil-minded, and the second one is rebellious, meaning that he is more concerned about himself. He's more concerned about going against the grain than he is being a faithful person who can depend upon. So he's called us to be faithful and wise servant, not a wicked one. Now, the last word here that is so important. This grabbed me again this week. He said, who among you is a faithful and wise what? Servant. Now, that word is the word doulos. Yes, and you know the classic definition is the word slave. And in the South, slave is not a very good word. But remember, throughout the Scripture, Paul, over and over again, says, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. You see, a slave is bought and paid for property. A slave is indentured by being purchased. But in this case, Paul says, I'm not slaved by being bought in that way. I'm enslaved to love. Because he says, I was once a slave to sin, and Jesus came and bought me with his precious blood, so now I'm a slave to him. Now, I want you to understand, the same word, slave, is also used for what we call a steward. A steward is someone who is hired or paid to manage a master's property. And in this case, this is more the essence of the word here. You were bought with a price. You are a slave. But that's not the point of this word here. The point is you were bought with a price and you are a slave in order to serve the master's bidding now. You have a job as a steward of the master's stuff. Look, I can't tell you how much this can revolutionize your ideas of life. Because I want you to realize that we are all given responsibilities to manage the master's resources. All this we have, even our own lives, are not ours. Do you understand? Have we not been purchased? Can a slave tell a master, all right, buddy, here's what I'm going to do. Here's where I'm going to go. Here's how I want to do it. Well, if you are, you're called a wicked, right? A wicked servant. Because a wicked servant is evil-minded and rebellious. But no, a slave has no power, authority, or personal ownership of himself. Nor is anything we have in our lives of our own. Now, I know it's totally opposed to the American way of life. Look what I have done. Look what I have made. Look what I have created. I have done this for myself. No, you haven't. Friends, we have to come back to realizing that everything we have is God's. We are merely stewards of the Master's resources on this earth. And everyone, and notice he says here, who of you then will be wise and faithful servant whom the Master has put in charge of the servants in your household to give them their food at the proper time? In other words, the service, the master has given us some responsibility, some household, something to oversee. I mean, everything that he has placed within our sphere of influence is merely an opportunity for us to serve him with it. It is not about us having a bigger house. It's not us about us having a bigger car. Ultimately, the spiritual life, the Christian life, the life as a whole, is to serve the kingdom of God. Jesus says, who will be the faithful and wise servant? Will you? Will I? Because, yeah, I'm saying here, Lord, of course I will. Until I think about what that actually means. It is hard to be faithful, isn't it? When you see everything that's going around, when you see your own sin, when you struggle with life, when it's just tough. I mean, it's easy to say, man, I don't know if I still believe this stuff or not. I mean, this world is going crazy, and it's hard to be faithful, to continue to persevere in your faith. It's hard to be wise. It's hard to keep considering the situation and being thoughtful and respectful of God and these other things. This is why you're so respectful, because you realize everything I have is an opportunity that God gave me, and I better use it correctly. You see, that's why a wise steward is really respectful, because it's not his stuff. When I was staying over in Fred's house over in Kenya, I felt a real obligation to be careful with everything, because that was not my house. Now, my house, I'll just throw it anywhere. She can tell you. But when you're in somebody else's house, when you really believe or know that you're using somebody else's stuff, how much more respectful are you? And what I'm saying to us is we need to begin to realize that everything is his stuff. Nothing is ours. We are only here. He says he has given us responsibility for a household. And look at the simple thing he wanted them to do. He wanted you to give food at the proper time. He wanted you to manage his other servants. Now look what he says here. He says in verse 46, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Now the word there, so part two in your outline is, we want to be found serving the master, not self-serving. We want to be found serving the master, not self-serving. He says here, it will be blessed are. It's the same word used back in the Beatitudes, back in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed is the meek, blessed is the poor, all those things. Same word here. He says, oh, the blessedness of the one whose master finds him so doing what he's called to do when he returns. Now you're going to see here that there's a positive result and there's a negative result. You're going to see here, this is the whole contrast Jesus is trying to say. He says, hey, what do you want to be? A wise and a faithful servant? Or do you want to be that wicked guy? Well, let me tell you, there's a cost to pay for being wicked. And there's a blessing to receive for being faithful and wise. All right, so when you and I get tired and we say, I don't know. Remember, oh, the blessedness of the man whom when Jesus comes back, he finds him doing what he's called him to do, which means being faithful and wise in his servant. So let's look at this faithful and wise servant. I tell you the truth. Verse 47 here. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of many possessions, of all his possessions. You see, what happened with this faithful and true guy? We have to fill in this whole blank here. This faithful and true servant, faithful and wise servant, he keeps expecting the master to return. He keeps believing in Maranatha. That's why this Maranatha mindset must remain in your heart and in your mind. You see, the faithful servant does not lose sight that there's a day coming when the master's going to come back, and I want to be found doing good. I want his house to be in order. I want the responsibility of property he's given me to be well managed. I want to be able to say, boss, here it is, man. Here's this, and here's that, and here's that. Now, I did all this for you. I mean, you know, when your boss is away on a trip, you want the boss to come home and find the office squared away, don't you? I mean, how many of y'all cleaning up an hour before the boss gets there? Come on. or when your wife's out of town, guys. Come on. Come on, kids. Come on. When the wife's out of town and we just live it up, man, and say, oh, she's on the way. Hurry, hurry, hurry. That's why the Caroline says, what time are you getting in? What time are you getting home? Okay, run, run, run. I mean, we want to, right? We keep on expecting the master to come as long as Maranatha is part of our mindset. As long as we say it can happen tomorrow, I have my ducks in order, I'm ready, I'm prepared, it can happen tomorrow. It's when you lose sight of that. You're going to see in a minute this wicked servant loses sight of this idea. And he thinks his life is his own, that he gets in trouble. So number one, the faithful and wise servant keeps on expecting the master, and he keeps on doing what he's called to do. He doesn't quit. He stays active doing what he's called to do. That is the only way you can be ready. I mean, I guess I would love for there to be a little hesitation between the twinkling of the eye and the rising up. You know, I wish there was some kind of a couple of hours in there where I can go back and straighten out my relationship with you. You know, I've been saying things and wrong, but now I know I'm going to heaven, so hey, let's get squared away right now. But how much time is there between a twinkling of an eye and going up? Boom. For those who are be taken up into heaven, there won't be any time to straighten anything out then. It'll be over. The time is done. That's why we have to constantly be doing what he called us to do. Now, let me explain this one more time with you. Faith is not what you believe, it's what you do. I mean, faith is what you believe, but it's only real faith when it's acted on. And the question he's going to ask you is not how much did you go to church. He's not going to ask you. He's going to ask you, how much did you believe in me and act on that? How much did you take what I told you to do and accomplish it? In fact, for the wise and faithful servant, the faithful and wise servant, his character is revealed over time. The truth is, God wants there to be a time period. He wants to put you to the test. He didn't want to tell you when, because just like we learned last time, if the householder knew the time the burglar was coming, he'd be at home. He'd be ready for him, wouldn't he? If we knew the time, God knows our fleshly spirit, we would say, okay, well, I can live it up until 10 minutes before he gets here. You know, I'm going to live my life and have a great life, and then I know he's coming. But no, here he says, look, you don't have that privilege. In fact, the best thing for you to do is to keep on doing what you're called to do. Keep on seeking me. Keep on serving me. You understand that we're the hands and feet of Christ. You've heard that all the time, haven't you? Well, let me add this component to you. That's too general. You are the hands and feet of Christ to a specific household. You've been given a specific opportunity. The family in which you live, the job in which you serve, this church in which you serve, this is your venue. Because, you know, when you say, well, yeah, I serve him in a general way, we can get away from it. But we realize that God has put us here now. This is our household. We are his faithful and wise servants here now. And this is what we're responsible for. You say, well, I'm waiting for this next church. I'm waiting for this next job. I'm waiting for this next, you know, time. No, now. And we must be doing what we're called to do now, and our character will be revealed over time. And look at this positive result. It says here, I tell you the truth, and again, that's that word, amen. Jesus, when he does that, that's exclamation point here. He says, look, listen to me, amen. He will put him in charge of all of his possessions. Now, the master is giving you a limited responsibility now. And if you prove faithful in that limited responsibility, then he will be able to give you a bigger responsibility, a bigger flock, a bigger church, a bigger influence. But too many of us are saying, you know, I want a bigger now. No, he says, you prove it right here. You be faithful in this responsibility, and look at the blessing here. Oh, the blessedness of this man, because the master will be able to put him in all of his stuff under him. And we know that Jesus is talking a little bit about the millennial kingdom and how we will be ruling with him and that we'll have responsibility with him. I don't know how all that's going to work, but I know that here's the message. If you're faithful and wise, if you're a servant worthy of your calling, you'll be blessed and you'll be given more opportunity to serve in the future. But then there's this evil guy. Let's look at the evil servant here. Verse 48, there's that wonderful but. But suppose that servant is wicked. Again, wicked, kakos, means evil-minded and rebellious. He's really more concerned about himself. He's more worried about going against. He doesn't want to follow the rules. He doesn't want to be faithful. He doesn't want to be wise. Here's what he says to himself. This is why this servant is so evil. Look what it says. He says to himself, now that word actually is cardia in the Greek, which means your heart. So he decides in his heart, he says, my master is staying away for a long time. The word is actually delayed, but it has a connotation here that he thinks the master is never coming back. He basically decided, look, I think something's happened to my master. He's taking too long. Something must have happened to him. And so since I'm in charge when he's gone, I've just now inherited all of his stuff. In other words, this evil servant decides that he now owns the master's property. That somehow the master has transferred ownership to him. So let's see what happens. Verse 49. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. In other words, he begins to exert control over his other servants. In other words, he begins to treat people like he owns them. He begins to treat them as if he's the boss and they're his servant. And he begins to eat and drink and carouse with other drunkards. In other words, he gets so high and mighty in his own power that he loses his whole moral stance. He begins to control and use the property of God as if he owns it himself. This would break my heart about myself. We become so cognizant that this is my house, my family, my property, my life. I can do with it as I will. He says, you know what? You're acting like a wicked servant. How dare you to think that you can just live your life any way you want to as if you own that. And that's why you're a wicked servant, evil-minded and rebellious. The truth is, his character is also revealed over time. You know, the way we live our lives, the way we act to God's stuff, basically determines whether we are a faithful and wise servant or whether we're a wicked one. And we'll find out whether, you know, when he comes back, will we be found serving his stuff, serving him, or self-serving? That really is the question. So when Jesus says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? He's basically looking at his disciples and saying, hey, how many of y'all are going to sign up for this? How many of you are going to follow through with this? You know, you're worried about the date and the time. I'm more worried about, are you going to follow through? Are you going to be here when I get back? You know, I promised to come back for you, but I hope to come back and find you faithful. Because you can choose the evil route. But let me tell you, there's a negative result. You don't like this result. I mean, I had a problem with this result. This is a bit on the harsh side. All right? But look at verse 50. Here's the negative result. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. You see, the evil servant thinks he's not coming. The evil servant does not keep on thinking. The evil servant does not keep on working. As for the master, he now takes over and lives his own life. Well, welcome. The day comes when, whoops, the master walks in. So, what's been happening in my house? I didn't know you were coming today. I didn't ask you. I said, what's been happening in my house? Why are my servants black and blue? Am I hearing that you're hanging out down at the bar with all these drunk people? Are you carousing in the city and embarrassing my name all over this city because you people know that you work for me and now you're acting like this and you think that I'm going to come home and be happy? Does this make you, would you think I would be happy to be here today? Ugh. Verse 51 is where I get a little bit wiggy here. Verse 51, he will cut him in pieces. And yes, I looked that up. There is, some people say they want to soften it and say it's basically a scourging or a beating, that you get whipped. But in the Old Testament, there is a penalty of being torn in two, to being cut in half for some sin choices. And most people say that we try to soften it up, but there's just not much softness to do here. There's a huge penalty to pay. The master has, and here's the thing. I'm speaking honestly with you here. The people we leave in charge when we're gone, they reflect us. So if the master does not publicly rebuke the person who's left in charge that messed up, then what is that saying about his character? Therefore, the master has the obligation to not just do a minor penalty here, but a public, horrendous penalty for this man to let people know that the master is a man of character. Ooh, that's tough. But that's not even the tough part. He will cut him in two is only part of the problem. You know, I would rather be cut in two than have the second part. And assign him a place with the other hypocrites. This is more the spiritual side. And the hypocrite there, the word hypocrite means an actor or an actress. Someone who's acting a part. And he basically says, okay, you have revealed your real character. And you're not on my team. And I'm assigning you with all those others who have also revealed themselves just to be actors. You know, they came in, I thought they were going to be a servant. They said they wanted to be a servant on my team. They were acting like a person that I could trust. I gave them some responsibility, and what'd they do? And during that time, they just blew it. They just took it on themselves. They began to serve themselves. And so in the end, Jesus is going to have to say, you know, the red letters tells us, look, in the end, those actors and actresses are going to be set aside, and they're going to be clear that the very time has proven who is the real servant and who is the wicked one. And so he assigns them with the hypocrites. And then he adds this little phrase. Maybe you've heard this before, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where's that? It's the same phrase used often with hell, about, I think, 12 times in the Scripture. So he's saying here, you know, who then will be the wise and faithful servant? Because it matters. There's going to be accounting of the way, not what you believe only, but how you live it. How you take responsibility for whatever household God has given you. And we're going to see with the parable of talents coming up that God doesn't give everybody the same amount. He chooses to give some a little more and then others more. It doesn't matter. His question is, when he comes back, have you rightly carried out what he's asked you to do? Have you lived your life with Maranatha on your mind? And have you been faithful and wise in the work that you're called to do? Disciples wanted to know a time, and he said, no, let's be a person. Well, just give us a time. No, be a person. Well, but Jesus, you just tell us when. No, be a person today. Start right now. You know, by the time I met Dana, my love of my life, I stopped worrying about whether Jesus was going to come back when I dated people. And then the other day I was thinking that, and I said, man, that's sad, isn't it? I got comfortable with the idea, and I stopped thinking about that because it was a horror to me in the early days, going out with a girl and, you know, wanting, I don't know, just imagining Jesus saying, hi, oh my gosh, what was I doing, you know? But it's so easy in life to get on about your life, to forget to be mindful of this truth, that Jesus is coming back, that Maranatha is a real mindset, that he's called us to be faithful and wise, not wicked. Now, I know what you're saying. All of us are wicked sometime. Come on, admit it, right? I mean, I don't think he's talking about perfection here at all. He knows we're broken. He knows we're sinners. But also he knows over time your character will be proven one way or the other. This is the measure. We don't know how much time you have. We don't know how many days it'll be between now and the coming of Christ. I have no idea. But what I'm encouraging you and me to do is to wake up in the morning, what I did this morning. Honestly, I want you to do this with me this week. One of the first things that comes to your mind is, Lord, how can I be faithful and wise servant of your stuff today? Of the people that you've put into my under my charge. Of the things that I hold in my hand. Of the work that I'm called to do today. How can help me to be a faithful and wise servant of your stuff today? And it's been amazing today. Just you begin to see everything. First of all, it's just been a blessing. I just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my wonderful family. Thank you for my wonderful church. Thank you for life that we have here. When you go to Kenya and you see all the stuff that people don't have, you just begin to be, you see, but when it's God's gift to you, it becomes so much more precious and begin to realize, you know what, I've got to manage this well. I've got to be careful with the things that he's given me, with the people he's given me. I have to treat him with respect and a thoughtfulness. I have to be careful with what I think. All of this can change our perspective if we just have that Maranatha mindset. If we're going to be the person that when the Master does come back, he will find us faithful. That is a great goal. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning for everyone in the hearing of my voice. Lord Jesus, it's going to be a great day when you come back for those of us who believe and those of us who've been working, striving to be a faithful and wise servant. It's a good day. But Lord, we are afraid for those who don't know you. We are afraid for them because they think they have all kinds of time. They're going to need to come back here in 2 weeks for the parable of the 10 virgins. There's a lot of people out there that think they have time to get their life together before you come, and there is no time. We have no guarantee. No one knows the day or the hour except Father himself. So, Lord, I pray for those of my friends here, those in the hearing of my voice. Today is the day. You know what? You need to hear what my dad said to me. You need to realize that Jesus can come back any minute, and you have to be ready. You have to be fully ready. You have to truly believe and to be serving him and following his way. You have to truly be a faithful and wise servant if you want the blessing. And I just pray, Father, that you would just help us today. Those who haven't said yes to you yet, Lord, I pray they would do that today. Don't let this time pass. Don't let them just go on about their lives and just ignore this truth. But Lord, help them say yes to you today. And you'll give them a life of hope, a life of peace, a life of joy in the Spirit, even in the midst of very difficult times. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for loving us and dying for us. And I just pray, Lord, for those who have not said yes to you. Father, for all of us here, I just pray, Lord, you would wake us up tomorrow morning with this question: who then will be my faithful and wise servant today? Who then will be my faithful and wise servant today? Who then will be my faithful and wise servant today? Let it be me. Lord, this altar is open, and we just ask you to come and pray. Just meet us there, Lord.
Oh, I hear a thousand stories of one day. Think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper. whisper love, the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know what do we need before we say your word? You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect, 'cause you're perfect to know. Undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace, unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me, deeper still, as you call me, deeper still, as you call me. Still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. It's who. You are perfect, just your voices. You are perfect.
And the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
conquered, all our chains undone. Jesus,
Jesus is overcome.
Mercy triumph when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied when the storm was gone. Hey, unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable.
Sing this together, nothing shall be.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Amen.